Welcome to You Influence Podcast, where you will hear everything you need to learn how to be a man or woman of influence for the better in your personal and professional life, in business, at work, and in your social life. Becoming a person of positive influence has an invaluable effect in ways we cannot imagine, but can only be felt in personal fulfillment. Welcome back to another episode of You Influence Podcast. This is Rafael Mavi. I have a very interesting guest today with us. Her name is Jackie Minsky. She is actually an author. We're going to talk about briefly some books that she has coming out later this year. Two books, actually. One is for children, and the second book is going to be coming out, and it's in the self-help and personal development space. I actually found, Jackie, I found you through a podcast that I was actually browsing through a list of podcasts in the business and the personal development category, and I came across your podcast. So every time I come across a new podcast, I go on social media and I start looking at the host's presence and what they're doing, who they are, you know, because I want to understand the person behind the voice, right, so to speak. Jackie, from what I understand, you are a single mom raising a kid and while building a business. Is that
true?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you know what? Tell us about yourself, about your background, and who you are today, where your beginnings were. And from what I understand, also, you are from Eastern Europe as well, right? You immigrated to US.
No, I was actually born here.
You're born here. Okay.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me and thank you for the amazing introduction. I had no idea that you found me while looking for a podcast. That's interesting because we have mutual, I guess you can say, people in common, which is interesting that it's such a small world. But yes, I'm a single mom. I'm raising a three-year-old, which can definitely get rough. But that leads me into what I really believe in. And this is something actually Mel Robbins talks about. And I remember I was watching her videos and she said, there's no such thing as not having time. People make time and prioritize for what they want. So as a single mom who's building a business, who's a writer, who has a podcast, who's doing and multitasking, there are days where I have to make sure laundry's done, the baby has food, the homework is done, does the podcast have the next episode? I also publish articles on different platforms while working on my book. So it got to the point where I was overwhelmed. And I remember there were days where I did want to take time for myself. And I was slacking off a little bit. And that's when I started following Mel Robbins on Instagram. And that's when she said that you have to make time for what you want. So instead of watching TV, which I actually listened to your previous interview with Eddie, and he spoke about this, if you have time to watch television, you have time to be distracted. That time that you're watching television could be time that you're doing something to work towards your brand, something that will serve you in the long run.
That's interesting. Okay, well, thank you for checking out my previous episode on podcast.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay.
I do
awesome.
My research too behind the person.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So before I ask that question, when did you come across personal development and business?
So this is very interesting. So growing up, I guess you can always say I was a little bit different. While everybody around me was either into drugs or even sexual activities from a young age, I was always observing, never participating. So I knew from a very young age that I was headstrong, I guess you can say, compared to my peers. So I think I got a taste of manifestation, or as Grant Cardone loves to say, committing before planning, actually at the age of 22. I really wanted to be a fashion stylist, which is actually my background. And at the time, I was working at a very high-end retail store, but I knew in my mind, and there was no doubt about this, that I was going to get out of retail and I was going to become a fashion stylist. There was absolutely no doubt in my mind. Eventually, I met a photographer through a friend who also was working with me in retail, and we actually started doing styling gigs. And one thing led to another. I was attending some of the biggest fashion shows. I've done Vogue, I've done Project Runway, And then I remember one day I was actually in the Paris Theater in New York City. I was at a private screening for Scatter My Ashes at Bergdorf's. And I remember I was in the room with really amazing people from the fashion industry, including Linda Fargo. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, my thoughts really led me here. It was a moment I really believe that what you plant inside your mind will actually come to life. And a lot of it is mind over matter. I knew even when I was working in retail, my vision would come to life. I never let circumstances stop my vision.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a pretty determined beginning.
Yeah, I really like to think of it as planting a mental seed, which I've actually done a few times in my life. But whatever it is, and I'll give you a few examples, some simple things. When I was 24 years old and I was living at my parents' house, I had this thought. I was like, by 25 years old, I'm moving out of my parents' house. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. I promise you, a week after my 25th birthday, it's like the universe, God, whichever you might feel comfortable with, knew that that's what I really wanted. I moved out of my parents' house by the time I was 25, exactly a week after my 25th birthday. Same thing with my son. When I was maybe 26, I said by 27, I'm going to be pregnant. 27, I was 5 months pregnant with my son. So it's almost interesting that committing before planning is actually a real thing. You set the intention, and this is what I really love to talk about and I try to teach people. Your intention sets the standard for your outcomes and your circumstances to come.
Absolutely. I 100% subscribe to that notion.
Yeah.
So, okay. So retail background transition. And when did you, I mean, listen, your podcast, the name of it itself is actually what got my attention because I looked at it and I did a double take, if not a triple take on my screen. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Stupid wise girl. I'm like, who comes up with that kind of name? But I've learned a long time in marketing is that it's either you come out with something really obvious so people remember it, or you come out with something that will shock the brain, the nervous system of a person looking at your message, so this way they'll remember it as well. And your title is the latter. It was the second one. So I'm like, stupid wise girl. I'm like, what does that mean? Right? So that was one of the reasons I'm like, who is this person that came up with this name?
It was me.
So how did you come up with that name?
Well, pretty much it's kind of my personality. Like when people get to know me, I'm very silly. I take life seriously, but I also know how to not take myself seriously. So it really is to the core of who I am, stupid wise girl. So it just fits so perfectly because sometimes people will say I'm ditzy, but at the same time, even though I can be playful, I have that wise side to me. And that's why that name just, it fits so well.
Okay, well, I'm gonna call you out on this because I do want to question it. So I'm glad it's live and it's not gonna be edited.
Okay.
Listen, I got a few years on you, and what I've learned is that by listening to people that are a lot more experienced than I am in business and in life, I understand that when you say wise, it's a very bold statement because, in my opinion, that wisdom comes from experience.
Oh, of course.
So what's your definition of wise?
Well, I guess my definition of wise is everything I've been through in life. You know, I've been through a lot of rough moments where I had to pick myself up. And like I said, from a young age, I was never like my peers. I always wanted more. And because I wanted more, I would always read books or I would listen to other podcasts. And my wisdom came from my knowledge and my experience, as you said. So that's really what I mean. And sometimes I feel like everything I learn from others, I take and I reprogram and I teach in my own way. And I always love to say this. Everybody has their own medicine. For example, when you have a headache, you take a Tylenol. When you have a fever, you might take a fever medicine. It's the same thing with us speakers. Everyone has their own thing. So someone might want to listen to my knowledge or my wisdom and not listen to somebody else's knowledge or somebody else's wisdom. So it's important for us when we do learn to give back and to teach in our own way, because we could be someone else's medicine. So my wisdom really, as you said, is from experience and it's from knowledge I have learned from other people.
Okay, so that goes in line with of the theme of our podcast, which is the influence, you influence. So
Yes.
you got influenced and then you started influencing. So if at this point you call yourself wise, it would be fair to say you got to rebrand your podcast later on and say stupid and wiser girl.
That's so interesting. It's so interesting you said that because every few months I do believe that people have to reevaluate where they are in life and how they are they progressing, are they meeting and executing their goals. So that's something I was actually thinking about the other day, not in terms of changing the name of the podcast, Stupid Wise Girl or Wiser Girl, but in terms of is the logo still fitting? Is the intro still the same? Can I have a stronger message to my audience? So I definitely believe in recreating yourself every once in a while, but no, Stupid Wise Girl will always remain that title because that was my baby and that will remain. But reevaluating yourself is very important. I do think that's a big thing. And every few months, I think everyone should reevaluate where they are in life.
Okay, I agree absolutely.
And I also think, and I also, sorry to cut you off, but I also think it's like a muscle. You know, people have this idea that they have to start or do something when they're ready or when it's perfect. And that's actually the opposite. There's really no such thing. And I really can't emphasize on this enough. And actually, John C. Maxwell said this really well. He said, there isn't a single idea that starts as good as it could be. And that's why I try to teach this to people. When I started, I didn't really know what a podcast was. I had no idea how I was going to do my intro, nothing. But the point is, anything you do when you're starting, it's building a muscle. And over time, you'll get better and reevaluate and keep going and keep building.
100%. So it was about reinventing yourself. Now, you started your podcast recently, right?
About 8 months ago, correct? Yes.
Okay, that's very recent. What's the goal? I understand, you want to share with people your experience, stuff like that, but what's the long-term goal?
Well, interestingly enough, as I said, commit before you plan, as Grant Cardone says. When I started my podcast, my goal at the time was how do I help people achieve their own goals? How do I get them to believe in their own dreams? So what I did was I started interviewing people who got to where they are in life by doing certain things. So I started interviewing those people who can give back and help someone who's listening to my podcast. And it kind of became a snowball effect. From there, I got more ideas. And my long-term goal is honestly just to build a brand where people really can believe in themselves. And as I said, as you mentioned, I'm a life coach. So I do have programs coming out. I have a webinar. I have a lot of things in the works, which started as a seed, which was just the podcast. But something so small grew to something so big. And as I keep going, the vision gets bigger.
Okay. Where do you get your information? I understand you're producing content, but are you reading through anything? Are you listening to other podcasts? Are you being mentored? Do you have a coach? What do you do to get influenced in order to influence others?
Not to sound cocky, but honestly, it's just through my life experience. I feel like I've been through tough times for my age, and I feel like people my age, which I'm 30 years old, by the way. I can't believe I just said that on the air because a lady never says her age, but I'm 30 years old, and I feel like my peers, they turn, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of people when dealing with life or something that's painful, what they do is they go out and party, or they turn to drugs, or they turn to relationships, everything that's instant gratification. Whereas I really go into myself and I try to find the lessons and why things are happening to me. So my inspiration really is from me being still within myself and learning the lessons so I can teach them.
Okay.
If
But
that makes sense.
it does make sense, but it's also conflicting a little because you referenced to John Maxwell, Mel Robbins, Grant Cardone. So you are exposed to their content. So does that mean that
Yeah,
you're
but I,
listening to them or you're reading books? So, again, there's got to be something that's influencing you and it's helping you because nobody's running on a battery, an eternal battery without being recharged.
I get what you're saying. I can't, and I'm going to be really honest, I can't say...
Okay, I hate to interrupt, but this is what I really don't like about Gary Vaynerchuk's message when he says, I don't consume content. Well, I call that bullshit because he's been quoted or heard to paraphrase people that have lived way before him. And he's no alien, if you believe in one, where he just gets downloaded this information during his sleep. All of a sudden, he's regurgitating people that were here way before him. So I know he is either consuming content or it's being given to him through some kind of a medium. So when people tell me, you know, it's all through me and my experience, this and that, honestly, I just don't buy it because there is an exposure, there is an influence, no matter how you look at it. If I studied the behavior of Gary Vaynerchuk from morning till night, like if I would be there, I know he's being exposed to some sort of information.
Well, I give credit when credit is due, and when I quote someone, I always say their name, but I don't feel like it really influences me I don't think it has anything to do with what I'm teaching, if that makes sense. I teach what I can only teach what I have learned.
Correct.
I can only teach through experience. So even let's say somebody does read, you know, John C. Maxwell or listens to Mel Robbins, that doesn't mean they have the experience to go out and teach. That just means they have the knowledge. That doesn't
100%.
Mean they can, or that doesn't mean they know what she's even talking about or what he's talking about. So even when you read or listen or watch motivational or inspiring or whatever term you might be comfortable with other people, that doesn't mean you have the experience to go and teach it. So that's why it's very important for me to make sure I have actually experienced what I am teaching. So I guess that's what I mean by I'm not really influenced when it comes to my teachings, because even though I can quote people, I went through the experience myself.
Okay, that's great to know.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So let me rephrase my question. What influences you to keep going as Jackie Minsky? Because before you answer, this is the same thing when, you know, people look at my social media, my whatever, Instagram, my Facebook stuff, right? And they're like, oh, are you a motivator? Oh, by the way, we heard you speak at this event. You spoke at that event. Are you a public speaker? And guess what? Maybe in a different life, like I'm talking about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I would call myself that. In reality, that's not who I am. I'm not a motivator. I'm not a public speaker. I speak because I have something to teach from the experience that I went through. And the only reason why my stuff sounds motivational is because the intention is for this to be practical and applicable to the person that's struggling throughout the day. Because the concept that somebody recently called me a business expert. I'm like, there's no way I'm a business expert. I'm not going to label myself as a business expert. The only thing I can do is educate another business owner through the experience that I've had of 11 years in direct sales and two companies with over 200 employees. That's it. Right. But on a daily basis, I get influenced by absorbing the information either through a book or a podcast or a YouTube video for me, for Rafael Mavi to stay on point, to keep going. And that's what I meant. Who influences Jackie Minsky for you to keep doing what you do every day?
That's a good question. I guess you would say, well, I'll be very honest with you now that you said it like that. I have been a huge fan of Tony Robbins for so many years, even before so many people knew who he was. I was maybe 16 years old, and while all my friends were out, I was home YouTubing Tony Robbins. So I really, really love Tony Robbins. When Jackie gets to a place where she might be losing focus, how do I recharge my battery? I guess, honestly, if you want my honest answer, it definitely is Tony Robbins, Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you're familiar with Abraham Hicks, but
yes, I am.
Yeah, so she's really big on manifestation, the vortex. So Abraham Hicks and Tony Robbins are definitely my top two go-tos.
Okay, that's great. I love Tony myself. Big fan of Tony.
Oh, he's
amazing. I've only been exposed to Hicks content. I'll probably say when The Secret came out back in 2005, 2006.
It's so funny you say that because So I'm a big believer in the invisible thread. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but events, things, or people come into your life at the right moments.
Yes.
So when The Secret came out, nobody knew that Abraham Hicks was the original reason for The Secret. She really talks about it in depth, almost to the point where if someone, the first time I actually got introduced to Abraham Hicks, I had no idea what she was saying. She's very in depth of what she's speaking about. And I purchased her book and I never read it. It was on my shelf. And then when I started YouTubing her, I was like, oh, okay, Abraham Hicks. And it took me some time to actually understand what she was saying. And then I remember one day I wanted to read a new book. And I went through my collection at home and I found her book on my shelf. I was like, I can't believe I have her book in my possession and I never even knew who she was. And now that I know who she is, now I have the book at home to read. It was so interesting for me, the timing of when I decided to pick up that book.
That's interesting. I referenced saying Hicks because wasn't her name Esther?
She refers to herself in a third party as Esther.
Yeah.
But in all her books, she goes by Abraham Hicks. Which is, that's what I mean. If you hear her speaking, she kind of takes on two different roles. She's Abraham, the speaker, and Esther is almost her in human form, if that makes any sense. But she's really in depth with this. And it could get confusing if someone was to just listen to her for the first time.
And yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember her talking about, I may be wrong, but I think Abraham, because of her study, and I mean, she studied the biblical concepts. So I think she took that pseudonym of Abraham. And Esther was her original name, or vice versa?
I'm really not sure, so I can't speak on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just know her as Abraham Hicks, and I hear her all the time refer to herself as Esther.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, but like I said, I only got exposed to her information back in, I'll see, this is going back to 13, 14 years already.
But she's the one who actually introduced me to intention, because I feel like without a plan, people flow through life aimlessly. And that's where a lot of depression or anxiety or anger even comes from, because what's really happening to people is they're moving further away from what might be their purpose and they can feel something missing. And she was the one actually to introduce me to that. And there have been times in my life where I'm going to use this as a perfect example. When I did get married and had my child, I was a stay-at-home mom and I was very depressed. And you would wonder why, because I had everything. I'm talking about everything. I had the nice cars, I had the nice bags, the nice shoes. We lived in a mansion. I'm talking about anything most women could want, I had, and then some. But I inside was depressed because I wasn't fulfilling my own purpose at that time. And I had to go back into the Abraham Hicks and I had to reevaluate and find myself. And she's the one who introduced me to intention. And that's what a lot of people do. They push themselves away from their own life purpose.
You actually touched on something that I would love to go deeper into conversation with. So let's see if we have the time. You mentioned that you had everything when you were married, right? But you weren't personally fulfilled.
Correct.
And I think this goes back to something you brought up much earlier in the conversation. We said people turn either to, you know, drugs, partying, or relationships. And I think what you meant was a relationship hoping it would save them from who they are. And I really do see that, unfortunately, a lot of people, if not most, and when I say most, it's over 50% of relationships, they start off that way. Very unfortunate, especially for women, right? Because they think that this guy is supposed to come into their life and save them from what they are, from who they are, from where they are. And yes, it does happen to men as well, because they think, you know, a woman is going to come along and be his, you know, second mommy and take care of him and do everything for them. And this is, in my opinion, a victim mentality, without realizing it's a victim mentality at that particular moment, because nobody wants to admit that they're a victim. So when you say that you weren't personally fulfilled, even though you had everything, what the society calls everything,
correct,
does that mean that you got married because you were hoping for those things, but you didn't know who you were as an individual?
Correct. You just said it so amazingly. So pretty much I got married, even though, listen, at the end of the day, he's the father of my child. We have a friendship. I'll always love him. At the end of the day, when we did get married, I didn't know who I was. And more so, and this is what I'm learning now, I was afraid of my own potential. Meaning I seen what I'm capable of, but there was moments in my subconscious where I was like, maybe it's not possible. Maybe I'm safer if I get married, have a baby, and live a normal life. And what I learned was, exactly as you said, I didn't know who I was. And only when I got married did I realize I'm itching and I'm yearning for more, something more. And that's when I knew I was created to do more. But the thing is, I'm very self-aware. I'm very conscious of these things. A lot of people within their relationships, they get more depressed. They get more angry. They fight more with their spouse because they don't even know how to fill their own void. And honestly, this is what I talk about on my podcast when it comes to relationships. When you have a void in the relationship, your spouse most of the time is not the problem. There's something within you that you need to take care of.
100%. Because there's usually a very simple answer to somebody complaining about their significant other. It works both ways for men and women. You know, like, well, she nags, or he's doing this, he's doing that. The question is, usually, what are you doing to cause that?
But not even what are you doing to cause that? If two, and I had an episode about this recently, if two people, and actually Elena Cardone in the book Building an Empire, she's the one who opened my eyes about this. She says when two people can come together in purpose, then all those little things won't matter. Because here's what happens when two individuals have their own life, they're fulfilled. So it's not so much that they enter and, oh, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. At the end of the day, it's a team. And when you look at each other as a team, not opponents, the relationship just flows better. But the only way to become a team is if you're solid as an individual.
Amen to that. That actually says that in the book. I haven't read the book. I know my wife has read the book, but I have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great book.
Great book. That's good to hear. Okay. And you are, do you do any speaking engagements?
Public speaking?
Yeah, public speaking or workshops.
I'm actually getting into that. I actually had a guest on my show who is introducing me to that, and that's something I'm starting to get into because, as I said, what started as just the podcast is now growing, and I'm getting more comfortable in my skin. I'm reevaluating, and I think it's really time for me to do the public speaking. What do you think? From today's episode, do you think I'm ready?
No, not just today's episode. I mean, I've heard your other podcast episodes on the Stupid Wise Girl podcast. So I definitely see a lot of value.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you so much.
Now, here's the thing that I also thought about. Your podcast, is it mainly for women, or did it start off for women to inspire other women? Or is it for both?
No. See, I feel like because of the title, people can actually think it's for women, but, yep. And which is fine. You know, I have to be honest, and sometimes people just have their own audience. So whoever listens, listens. But the point is, what I am teaching, anyone can listen to, because I'm talking about the relationships. I'm talking about the career. I'm talking about how you fulfill yourself as an individual, not so much how to fulfill yourself as a woman.
Okay. Because, listen, this actually happened to me when I just saw it. And the fact that I saw the word girl in it, that didn't want to make me listen. But what got my attention is the other two words, stupid wise. So I'm like, what in the world, right? So that's why I started looking. And then I decided, after I saw your presence on social media, I went back to the podcast and I checked out probably, I think, 5-10 minutes of one of the episodes. After which point I actually connected with you.
Yeah.
And then once I found out more about you as who you are as Jackie, I went back and listened to more information. I'm like, yeah, this is applicable, you know, for everyone.
Thank you.
But I think the title will definitely make men think like, it's not for me.
Of course. And that's something I took into consideration. But like I said, I feel there is such a thing as the invisible thread. So whoever is meant to listen to what I am trying to teach will find it when they need to. I'm a big believer in the spiritual world and things like that.
I agree. But hey, listen, I will never be against in specializing in a niche. So even if you're primary focus is on women, but the overall picture is for everybody, there's nothing wrong with that. I do believe in niches.
Oh, of course. That's something I've taken into consideration is because I'm a single mom, do I want to just work with single moms? And then it got to the point where I was like, I don't think so, because sometimes when I do speak to men, when it comes to other topics, I also have helped many men in my life. I've actually helped more men in my life than women, because women are actually more stubborn, believe it or not. But I've actually helped more men in my life than women. So that's why I can't just focus on the females, because in my experience, I have helped more men.
Okay. That's great.
But I have thought about that, because when it comes to business and branding, like you said, most people have a targeted, you know, audience or something they're trying to teach, or a specific, you know, age group or whatever. But that's something I had to take into consideration. But as I've mentioned, with my experience, I do help more men.
Okay, good. Well, like we talked about before, also, it's about, it's about evolving. And there's nothing wrong with a business or podcast or anything to evolve, because that's what humans do. We always evolve. We reinvent ourselves. My podcast originally, before it was a podcast, it was just an idea. I actually just wanted to target business owners and deliver information of value to them so they could be better employers, they could be better leaders. So as I started going through the topics and all the content that I've been talking about for years now, I'm like, this will be applicable for anybody. I don't care if they're working a job at 19 years old or they're building a thriving business at 49, right? Because even I have clients that are in that age, right, in their 50s, but their business on the books is doing good, but they're frustrated. They're going through a high turnover of employees, right? They lack training. Now that the market has changed a lot in the last, you know, 6-7 years because of social media, their focus is shifting as far as marketing. So on the books, everything looks great, but behind the scenes, it's not as peachy as it seems. You know, so you influence. That's how it came about. I'm like, okay, this will evolve.
So now I love the name of your podcast. When you said it and asked me to be on the show, I loved it so much. It's really an amazing thing that you're actually doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to get millions of people to be listening to this. Or as Brad Lee says it, we got 7 billion people in the world listening to this podcast, except for those 8 people in some country that nobody heard of, right? it's because he's speaking words into existence.
Exactly.
Right? And that's what you say, right? You got to manifest it.
Yes. It's real. It is so real. It's scary. It's scary to, I don't know if it's scary. It's almost exciting to think. But when you start to think abundance, and I've actually wrote 2 articles about this, one on Thrive Global and one recently just went up on Medium. So I'm a big believer in manifestation, as we discussed. But the thing is, and this is what I try, my whole thing is what I'm trying to teach people is how to go into their subconscious. That's really where all the problems come from.
I agree. Absolutely.
Because even, let's say, when I got married, you know, no offense to the father of my child, which I love very much, the point is, in my subconscious, I wasn't sure if I can become who I meant to become. So in my subconscious, I took the safe route, and that's what people do. And if only in their subconscious they can break their fear and their doubt, amazing things are just going to happen. It's really, really true.
It's interesting you said you were not sure if you were going to become who you wanted to become, opposed to I was afraid that I wasn't going to become that my husband was hoping me to become, right? And that's what most people, that's how most people think. Oh, I got to be the man that, you know, she wants me to be. I'm like, dude, why don't you be the man that you always wanted to be?
Yes. It's so funny you said that. I had a conversation with one of my guy friends. He's always looking for a relationship. He's constantly going on Tinder. He's constantly going on dates, but he's not happy. You know, he smokes weed. He's not healthy. He doesn't eat healthy. And one time I said to him, I said, let me ask you a question. And this is something Elena Cardone talks about. If you were to write a list of your dream woman, are you her dream man? Because you don't take care of your health. You are not fulfilled on your own. And that's the bottom line. Are you fulfilled as an individual before you go out and insert your unhappiness into someone else's life? Because that's what really happens when you're not fulfilled. You go into relationships and then you start blaming each other because you realize that void is still very open and you have used this person as a crutch.
I agree. And I think for the last 21 years, I would say, ever since I started paying attention to people dating, right? I would say, yeah, probably about that time, I started noticing one thing, and that is even today, right? 2 decades later, I'm still seeing this, unfortunately, grown-ass men and women that cannot freaking be alone for a week or two, a month, even a day. They may think, oh, well, I wasn't dating anybody after I broke up with my last one, after I got a divorce. You weren't dating, but you already had somebody lined up. And I know people like that. There's actually a bunch of them. They had people lined up simply because they couldn't let go of what was until they got a hold of what's next. And by observing people like that, that just don't know how to be alone, these are very dependent individuals. They don't know how to cope with themselves. They don't know what to do. So they turn to things. They turn to either, you know, bad addictions. They turn to bad dating, toxic relationships, bad habits, right? Or binge watching Netflix, or because they don't know how to cope with themselves. They don't know. So it's like, okay, if you really don't know what to do with yourself, what are the odds of somebody getting along with you long term?
Correct. Correct. And this is what I touch up on my podcast. And this is, I wrote an article just exactly as what you said. It's really sad. And very few people want to do the work because it's actually harder to do the work, but in the long run, it makes more sense to do the internal work. But people are scared. People are scared of their own, you know, forgive me, but their own demons. You know, everyone has their own history. Everyone has their own experiences. Some are worse than others, but people don't know how to overcome their own issues. They really don't. It's really sad.
Yeah, you know what I call that? The bullshit story you tell to yourself just so one day you can justify your shortcomings.
Of course. And those are the people that get more angrier and more depressed because they're actually pushing themselves further away from what could be their purpose. Absolutely. And this is what I actually try to teach people when I work with people. It's I ask them, what is your story? Because most of the time, your purpose comes from your story. It comes from your experience, as you and I spoke in the beginning.
Yep. Listen, I don't know if you're allowed to discuss this. I know you got picked up by a publisher, right, for your books?
Correct.
Okay, so that's already a done deal. You have 2 books coming out.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about it without mentioning details? Because I understand your contract, you're not allowed to disclose any detailed information.
Of course,
something.
Of course.
Okay. So what type of books do we have to look forward to?
So the first one is actually a children's book, and it's actually interesting how this even came about. I wrote it when I was very upset. But the book teaches, and because I'm a mother, I think this was important for me to teach my child. But more so than just teaching one child, I thought, well, how can I teach more than just my own child? Because a lot of things happen and start at home. And this everyone hears all the time. They teach you how to do this, they teach you how to do that, but no one ever asks you, are you happy? So the children's book really teaches children how to find themselves, their inner peace, and how to be happy. So that's what the children's book about. And I'm very big on Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss, writers that they're fun, they're playful, it's poetic, but the books have a very deep message. And this is exactly what my children's book is about. It has a very deep message where adults, actually, if they read it, hopefully they'll really love how it teaches how to find your own happiness. That's what the children's book is about. And then the adult one, that's much more in depth, and that really talks about your spiritual journey. I even start the book by thanking people who don't believe in manifestations, who don't believe in the spiritual path, because I actually, one of the first few sentences is, thank you so much for your resistance. It has strengthened my beliefs.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, when you're at the gym and it hurts when you're working out. It's the same way when you deal with non-believers. They actually make you want to do it more. So that's what the adult book is about, how to push through and become the best version of yourself, even though there might be people around you who don't believe in you.
That's awesome. And your children's book, is it more for parents to read to the kids, or are we talking about 10 to 13-year-old kids?
Definitely for parents to read to the kids. Definitely for parents to read to the kids. For sure. Which is why I did it that way, because I know the adults reading to the children or in schools or wherever, hopefully this will be read, when the adult reads to the child, they will find the message themselves. So it's kind of for both young kids, but also the adults will find the message. The children will enjoy it, but the adults will understand the message.
Okay. Awesome. I love it. So, why do you do what you do?
Why do I do what I do? Because I see so many people who don't believe it's possible, and I'm living proof that it's possible. So why not be a hand for someone else and pick someone else up? That's really why I do it. Because I never really had someone who would want to help me. I had to do a lot on my own, or YouTube, or read things, and I want to get to a place where someone can call me or contact me directly if they need help. That's really what it's for. I just want to be a hand for someone who might be down and might not believe in themselves.
Okay. Do you feel like this is your passion or your purpose?
I feel like it's both, and I feel like if it wasn't my passion, it wouldn't be my purpose.
Okay. So that means you would do it for free if money was no issue.
Oh, for a long time, I was making no money. There was no money in this. There's no money in podcasting. There's no, I'm sure you know, there's no money in podcasting unless you're getting a sponsor. There was no money in podcasting. And when I started the podcast, there was no money. I just wanted to be that voice. And then It just grew from there. So, of course, I would do it for free. Even when I did fashion styling, when I first started, it was my passion at the time. And a lot of the gigs I did were for free, but it was exposure. I was building my portfolio. So I feel like with anything, if you can do something with passion and you might not always make the money right away, they always say the money will follow when it's a pure intention.
Okay. I don't know if I agree to that statement. The money will follow.
I know. I have read some of your work. I know we're about to get into it.
Well, we're not going to get into it. We're not going to get into it, because words are just words. When people say follow your passion, the money will follow, that's complete bullshit, because I know a bunch of broke ass artists at the age of 60 and they're phenomenal and they're broke. You know why? I'll tell you why. Money is not going to follow if you don't know how to get it.
Well, that's also true. You have to have a plan. I'm not saying, you know, just, you know, here's a lot of things. This is actually a big thing in business. If you know you're good at something, but you don't know what to do with it, that's also a problem.
Yeah, because you need the skills.
But I still believe the passion should be there. You don't have to be a complete, you know,
What if you don't have passion? Well, I'm sorry. What if you don't know what that passion is? See, that's like a conversation we're going to go into for another 3 hours, but it's a real question. What if somebody, regardless of their age, doesn't know what their passion is because they never thought about it?
Well, that's the thing. They haven't thought about it. But I'll give you a perfect example, and this is funny, but it's actually a real thing. I took a Sam Ovens webinar, and I sometimes listen to him, and I took a webinar once, and this is so interesting. There was a guy who, believe it or not, his passion was to overcome porn addiction. And he figured out how to make money and teach others how to overcome the same thing. And this is why it's important for you to figure out who you are, what you possibly have to overcome. Because believe it or not, there's people out there who are going through the same thing you might have went through that need your help. Whether you're an artist who figure out how to paint, whether you're a recovering addict, whether you're someone who has failed in relationships and then you figured out how they work. Everyone has a story. Your story is your purpose. How can you teach someone and pick the next person up is really what I think it's all about.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know about being passionate about, you know, dropping your porn addiction. That may be a great goal, you know, but to call it a passion, like in my opinion, for somebody to say, I know what my passion is.
This guy's making multi-millions of dollars with his program.
That's excellent. So here's the thing. So hear me out on this, right? When somebody says, I already know what my passion is, either they found it. And when I say found it, I mean like they developed it. You cannot find something if you don't know you had it because you never technically lost it, right?
Well, I agree with that. There are people who just know what their passion is, and there are people who develop it. There's, you know, it's not the same road to success for everybody. No two roads will look the same.
Absolutely. But let me finish. A passion, in my opinion, should be something like it has to be a goal beyond your needs. That's why I asked you before. Would you do what you do today for free? And if you say yes, that is clearly your passion. So if the guy's making millions of dollars by selling a program for people how to dump their porn addiction, that's great. The question is it something you would do for free? And if he says yes, that is the passion, because the passion develops once you truly, genuinely want to help others. Yes, we're all selfish. We're human beings. That's a selfish motive, knowing that you made a difference in someone's life. There's nothing wrong with that.
But I thought you disagree with doing it for free.
No, I never said that. You have no idea how many talks I gave, how many trainings I did, and did not get paid for it by design.
Okay, so you do believe in doing it for free if it's your passion.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did you misread one of my last posts?
Yeah, there was something that you should be doing it for the money. It was on your Instagram.
You misread that. So let me read that to you again. That post went like, if you don't believe in not doing it for the money, you haven't developed your purpose yet. That's what it says.
Let me just double check. I'm going to take my phone out because I put it away.
If you don't believe in not doing it, that's the key word. Okay. And then obviously the caption spells it out. So this went out to people, right? And this, I was one of them years ago. That's the way I thought as well, right? Business is all about making money. And great, money is important. You need money, right? Money is important. Like Zig Ziglar used to say, right? You know, it's not everything, but it's like oxygen. When you need it, you really need it.
Well, go ahead.
When it's a profession, and if you consider it your passion, you should be able to do it for free because you're passionate about it. That's why my definition of passion is putting your needs aside over somebody else, like putting somebody else's need over yours. You're willing to genuinely help them. That's when you know you're passionate about that. Until then, there's nothing wrong with being in search and pursuit of your passion because you're trying to, quote unquote, find it. Again, I hate that word because you don't find it, you develop it. Because you don't know what you don't know. That's the bottom line.
Correct.
You know, and for people that think like, oh, these speakers are doing it for the money. They're going to make $500,000 over the weekend. I'm like, yeah. So do you have any idea how many talks they did with no money? No, you don't. Why? Because you don't think like that, right?
Well, so people that don't. that's actually what they say, that success looks like luck to those who assume it's overnight, when it's
exactly
we have done the hard work behind the scenes. I'll give you an example. When I became a fashion stylist, there were times I had to be up at 3 in the morning, and I would work all day. But no one saw it that way. People just saw me flying around and doing all these cool things, and no one saw behind the scenes. And it's the same thing even with this podcast. No one sees the work I put into it. They just hear my episode. So it sounds fancy, it sounds nice, but behind the scenes, there's so much work that goes into everything I'm doing. Even the book, people are going to read the book and they don't know how much legal stuff had to go into it, the back and forth, you know. But if hopefully when it does become a success, it's going to look like, oh, it was an overnight, she wrote a book and boom. No, I've been working on this book for almost a year and a half now. It had to go through an editing phase. It went through 2 editors. Then the legal contracts went back and forth, you know, but no one sees that. People only see the results and the success and they call it luck.
I hear you. Trust me. It's I did the math on my content. So let's say if it's a 4-minute green screen video, on average, it takes about a little over eight hours worth of work to produce a 4-minute green screen video. Now, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, "Wow, you suck," okay, maybe you're better than me, you know, at this. But that's what it takes me to produce a 4-minute green screen video, you know, including like the write-up, the editing, the setup, you know, the camera, the studio time, everything, over 8 hours to produce a 4-minute green screen video. So people look at it. I just played a couple of videos on one of my workshops in Brooklyn at the ERPS group. You know, your friend works there.
Yes.
And I played a couple of videos there. So people looked at it like, "Oh, we want this program. Is it available? Can we buy it?" I'm like, "No, this is something we're working on. But I just wanted to play you these videos because this is how many chapters we have done already. So this is just some of the content." And they're looking, "Wow, you make it look so easy." I'm thinking to myself, if you only knew. I'm 100%. But again, about the whole passion thing, yeah, is you got to really understand what I meant in that post. It's like, for people that don't get it, they don't get it because they haven't developed their purpose or passion yet.
Yeah, and those are the same people that are getting into relationships and temporary highs. They won't find their passion because they haven't done the internal work.
Yep. Okay. So I got one last question for you.
Sure.
And then, as a matter of fact, before I ask that question, where can people find you?
Well, Stupid Wise Girl, the podcast, is on all platforms. The website's coming out shortly. I had some issues with my old audio guy, as you know, because you actually mentored me through that situation. The book should be out within the next 4 months. That will probably be on Amazon as well as hopefully Barnes & Noble, so look out for that soon. And they can always email me at she@1stupidwisegirl.com. I do life coaching. I do one-on-ones. I take phone calls. And pretty much if you email me, that's the best way to reach me.
So what's that email again?
she@1stupidwisegirl.com.
1stupidwisegirl.com. Okay. And Instagram, Facebook.
Right? My Instagram is genius_intellect. Even though you told me to change it. And my...
If that's your brand, then stick to it.
Well, we discussed this. Someone owns my name, which is hysterical. Someone actually has my name on Instagram. So for now, I'm using genius_intellect. That's my personal Instagram.
Okay. genius_intellect. Awesome. Okay. So the last question I have for you, when the word influence comes across, what do you picture?
What do I picture, or what do I feel?
Same thing.
To influence, or just the word influence?
The word influence.
Well, it's pretty much everything we spoke about. To influence or to be influenced is really, I kind of guess it's, this is a good question. You're making me think, which doesn't happen often. to influence? Pretty much being someone's medicine or you receiving medicine for whatever it is you need, something that you might need help with or to give help, you're influencing.
Okay. So that's in a positive way, to make something or someone better.
Well, no, because you can influence, talk about peers, there's bad influences.
Exactly.
There's bad influences as well as good. So it's really about the company you keep. And hopefully, if you're someone who's smart, you want to be influenced by someone or something good.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Awesome.
Thank you.
Love it. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciate it. Guys, check out her podcast for sure. She's got a bunch of great episodes already there. Look out for the new books that she's going to have coming out later this year. And connect with her on social media. Genius_intellect. That's Instagram. And email is she@onestupidwisegirl.com.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, please show us your support by subscribing and leaving a positive review to help us advance on the chart. You can always connect with me on social media by searching for Rafael Mavi at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you have any questions or just want to drop a line, the fastest way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram. Until next time.